Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Derek Felix of the Hard Hits Network here, coming back on a quick podcast. I did get cut off by accident, so I just wanted to wrap up on my thoughts. So I just wanted to finish up on the NBA playoffs, which I'm not really following, and a little bit on the Knicks and the Yankees. So just a couple of our thoughts. I was talking about how I wasn't surprised that the Mavericks are competitive. They certainly have got a superstar there, and Luka Doncic, that can make things happen. And Porzingis, who you expect to be a little bit better. He was better in Game 2 than he was in Game 1. And the Jazz as well, they're very competitive with Donovan Mitchell, who's a star player. Can be an unrestricted free agent down the line. I don't know if the Knicks are interested in that, but who knows? I mean, I don't know if he's the right guy. He takes some high volume shots. And the Knicks look like a long-term project, to be honest. So it's going to take some time for the Knicks to rebuild. Tom Thibodeau will reinstill hard work and the kind of values that the Knicks need. He's proven, and he's kind of like the Barry Trotz of the NBA, a guy that certainly can instill the right values, the right work ethic, defense, something that the Knicks have needed for a long time. So we'll see what happens there. As far as the Eastern Conference, you have the Heat. They're up 2-0 on the Pacers, well, without Sabonis. And Sabonis is probably their best player. I'm not surprised. The Pacers were a little more competitive. Oladipo played and played a little more and had a good game. But the Heat are a really good team, actually. And they got a lot of balance on that team. So I'm not surprised. And I did pick them to win that in 6. But without Sabonis, they could win in 5. The Celtics are up 2-0 on the Sixers. Joel Embiid was kind of critical of the coach there, Barry. I mean, they should have fired him last year. They're also without Ben Simmons, so Ben Simmons had knee surgery, so they're not gonna beat the Celtics. They're not winning. They're not gonna win 4 out of the next 5. I think I originally picked the Celtics in 6. It wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics win easier, especially if they're not gonna defend Jason Tatum. And Jalen Brown's pretty good also. So the Celtics, they did lose Gordon Hayward, so that could hurt them long term. I don't expect them to get out of the second round. Toronto's up 2-0 on the Nets. That's not really a surprise. At least the Nets were right there. They were right there in Game 2 after getting blown out mostly in Game 1, even though they did have a little bit of surge. And when you expend that kind of energy, usually you come up short, and they did. Toronto's a really good team. They play great defense. They're the best defensive team in the league. I picked the Raptors to go to the NBA Finals against my surprising pick, the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see how the Nuggets respond in Game 3 against Utah, tied at 1. What else would I want to say about the other one, Milwaukee Bucks? Bucks respond after surprisingly losing Game 1 to the Orlando Magic. Antetokounmpo had 20-plus points and 20-plus rebounds. And they played a better game. I have to think that they'll take care of the Magic. The Magic are not really on. They're not on their level. Let's just put it that way. Could the Magic make it interesting and maybe force a 6th game? They could. No, because they won the first game. But would it surprise me if Milwaukee wins 4 in a row? No. So now my picks are not going to change. I did expect Utah to make things tough for Denver, so I said 6 games. I also felt that Dallas would make it tough for the Clippers. I felt that 6 games, and I think Clippers should win. I'm sure Paul George will be a little better than he was in Game 2. So, and Clippers have more depth. So I have to think that depth will come through. That's an area where they're pretty deep there. So, you know, the Rockets, I did pick OKC. I had to pick an upset, so I went with OKC. That doesn't look like it's going to pan out. Rockets are playing very well right now, and they're hitting all cylinders. They could be a roadblock, potentially, for the Lakers if they do meet up in the second round. So that will be interesting to watch, it'll be interesting to follow. That's what I'm doing. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, the Knicks. They had their draft lottery thing here. The Knicks had the sixth worst record in the NBA. And of course, the Knicks dropped. They went from sixth to picking eighth, kind of like the year that they missed out on Stephen Curry. Does it really surprise you? If you're a Knicks fan, does it surprise you? I don't think it does. One thing about the draft lottery, and for people talking about conspiracy theories, because it went to the Minnesota Wolves and they've already had number one overall pick twice. Look, I'm not one for conspiracy theories. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes the ball bounces your way and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, really, the Wolves followed up with Andrew Wiggins. He didn't turn out to be the superstar that they thought he was going to be, and they traded him. So, for D'Angelo Russell. And I don't know if D'Angelo Russell is going to stay there or what. But we'll see. And they also had Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is an excellent offensive player who can rebound the ball, and he can spot up from the outside like a versatile big guy can do, but he doesn't play like a defense. So it hasn't really worked out the way they thought it was going to work out. And they just took Culver. I think Culver is going to be good. I know Jared Culver did not have much of a rookie year. Jared Culver is the one guy that was overlooked in last year's draft, and I expect him to be a good one. He'll be a good combination player. So I expect him to develop into a good player. All right, so the Golden State Warriors, of course, who had the worst record and were terrible because they had no Curry and no Klay Thompson, they're second overall. I think the Bulls are fourth overall, and I think the Atlanta Hawks are sixth. New York Knicks are picking eighth. It's not a strong draft. It isn't. They'll just have to do the best they can do. They should pick what they think is the best player available at number eight, if that's what they decide to do, if they decide to keep the pick. If they decide to trade it and trade down, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe you can maximize a couple of picks. That's something that it could do. But there could be a point guard available. Karl Anthony, who didn't have a consistent season with North Carolina, could be available. I would still expect him to go in the top seven just because of his talent. Ball, the other ball, LaMelo Ball, will probably be long gone, even though he does have the same weakness that his brother does have with the shooting. But he's supposed to be a point guard, a guy who can really distribute the ball. He'll probably be gone. You have the kid from Dayton is a guy that I like. I think his name is Toppin, right? So he would be an interesting guy. Whoever gets him, I would expect him to be good. I would expect him to be good. So he's more developed. I think he'll do well. That's just my opinion, okay? So we will see where things go. In terms of the Knicks, well, like I said, it's not an exact science when it comes to the New York Knicks and when it comes to the NBA draft. So I don't think we should be surprised. No, I'm not. I'm honestly not. I wanted to get to the Yankees. You know, after beating up on the Boston Red Sox, or the Dead Sox, as I like to call them, they got swept by the Tampa Rays at home, the stadium. Obviously, there's no fans. They had lost the previous week. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Rays. And the Rays are now, they've vaulted ahead of the Yankees. They're half a game in front for first place. They've come all the way back. The Rays got off to a slow start, but the Rays are a really good team. I think they're the second best team in the American League. I think they're a legitimate World Series threat. They're managed very well by Kevin Cash. Austin Meadows is finally healthy. Brandon Lau looks like he's going to be a star player. He hit a big home run. They just get contributions throughout their lineup, and they all can pitch. They all can pitch and get outs. That bullpen, I mean, he goes to that bullpen and they get outs. And the Yankees bullpen did not do the job in this series. Zach Britton, and he did wind up hurt. He's on that injured list, I think. Is it a calf problem? It seems like the Yankees are like the walking wounded every year. But the Yankees were terrible in this series. They were without DJ LeMahieu, who's on the injured list and won't be back until probably around September 1st. And Judge will be back this weekend, and it will not be Friday because the Mets have a COVID issue. Somebody tested positive for COVID-19, and we don't know if it's a player or who. And they were down in Miami, by the way. There it is again. So after they were getting back on track, had won 3 in a row and kicked the crap out of the Marlins, who have come back to the pack, and they were ready to probably take 4 games from them, their game was canceled, obviously, and the game for Friday against the Yankees is canceled. So, what else is new? And this is why the St. Louis Cardinals are playing a bunch of 7-inning doubleheaders, because they're trying to make up ground. So, who knows what's going to happen with that whole thing. All right, so your latest, I'm just looking at this draft net thing before I finish with the Yankees. Anthony Edwards, that's right, the kid from Georgia, he's going to be a really good scorer, but he can sometimes, shot selection could be a little much because he does have big range. He has long range from 3. But so as he matures, we'll see if he becomes that player. I don't think the Golden State Warriors are a fit for him because they're going to have Klay Thompson back. They're going to have Steph Curry back. Would they really take an Anthony Edwards? LaMelo Ball is projected pretty high. Obi Toppin. Yeah, Toppin. That's the guy that I really like. Sophomore. Very advanced. 6'9", 220, power forward. He's got the kind of game that projects. I think he'll be a double-double machine, a guy who puts up 18, 19 points. He'll grab a lot of rebounds. He's also good defensively. He'll block shots. Some other guys to look at here. When they projected for the Knicks, they projected Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State, a point guard. I've heard of him. Iowa State always produces good point guards. The Knicks are dropping to 8. James Wiseman is the big center from Memphis. Did not play a lot of games for Memphis because of the NCAA and their stupid rules. They made him ineligible. I think he should be in the top 4, to be honest. I think James Wiseman's going to be really good. He's got the size, 7'1", 235. If he develops right, he could be that kind of dominant big guy. So Cole Anthony fell all the way out of the top 10, according to the mock draft, recent mock draft on NBADraft.net. I don't think he would ever fall out of the top 10. That would be shocking. Other names here that I recognize, Precious Achiuwa from Memphis. He's another guy from Memphis to look at. Anybody else here that interests me? I don't really recognize a lot of names, to be honest. Killian Hayes is a point guard from France. They have the Hawks possibly getting him at 4. There's always, you know what, the Knicks drafted a guy from France by the name of Frank Ntilikina, and he's nothing more than a backup point guard who plays really good defense. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And the Spurs wound up with Tony Parker, who had a great career and should be a Hall of Famer. There are not a lot of names that I recognize here, to be honest, looking at this list. This is not a deep draft. It really isn't. So the Knicks, the draft is what it is. It's a crapshoot. And it will be in the fall. So that will be very different from what you usually see. And don't forget that it'll be tougher for scouts to evaluate these players because obviously no real workouts face-to-face. That's pretty tough. It's going to be based off video like the NFL has to do. But the NFL, they were able to They did have some of the preliminary stuff, so I'll see. As far as the Yankees, they got a zillion guys out, but Judge will be back, and that should help their lineup. Tuchman has been very good, so he's been excellent. has Mike Tauchman, a guy that gets on base and hits for average and hits to all fields and steals bases. Gio Urshela has played a great third base. He makes all sorts of great defensive plays, has tremendous range, has a great arm. Made another great play last night, or actually it was day game yesterday. They actually had a rare day game, a game that was very ugly. They lost 10-5 to the Rays, and a game where James Paxton threw 4 no-hit innings. I think he was at 7 strikeouts when he imploded in the 5th inning and gave up a 2-run home run to tie the game, and then wound up, I think, giving up 3 runs. Or he still had a chance to win the game because Urshela hit a home run that put the Yankees back ahead. But Paxton wound up going 5 innings, but he was complaining about something, and it looks like he's going to be having an MRI, so he'll be having an MRI on his elbow. So that's just what the Yankees need. And Gleyber Torres also left the game with an issue. I don't know what the deal is, but I mean, Gleyber Torres was already having a bad start to this abbreviated baseball season. The guys that are hitting, the Urshelas, the Tauchmans, and Luke Voit, who now is up to 10 home runs and 20 RBIs and is hitting over 300 and has been tremendous. He's proving that he's not a fluke. Urshela's proving that, you know, maybe he won't hit for his high average, but he will hit enough. And he certainly fields very well at third base. Clint Frazier, he's done pretty well since he's come up, but he's won for his last 7 or 8, 0-for-3 yesterday. So Tyler Wade, I don't know what Tyler Wade adds. Tyler Wade can play any infield position, so he's a utility guy. But he can't really hit. He did have a double yesterday. That just puts him at 200. He's not a guy that should be starting. He really isn't. You can't start him. I would start Tyro Estrada over him. God, I wish Andujar could play second base because I would put him there. And Andujar, once again, is down at the minor league complex in Scranton playing intra-squad. So Ottavino was terrible in this game. So he was bad. Paxton wound up giving up that one hit. It was a double. Run scoring double by Yandy Diaz. It wasn't a home run. So he also walked 4 guys and had 8 strikeouts, but he left, and now there's going to be an MRI, and the Yankees are going to be hoping that Paxton, he only threw 83 pitches, 51 for strikes, and they hope that there's no injury to Paxton, and it's not serious because he's up for a contract after the year. He's unrestricted this winter. So same thing with Tanaka, who got bombed the other day. Paxton remains a disappointment to me just because this guy is a strikeout pitcher, and aside from that 2.5-month stretch that he had last year where he was terrific and he had that one good postseason game, he is a tease. I mean, he can dominate like he did for the first 4 innings yesterday and then implode. So I don't really understand why he's not better than he is. I mean, he's obviously a guy that should strike out 200 batters, but he's not a guy that gives you a lot of innings. So I'm not really sure. I don't know why the Yankees have Elon on their roster, a Mets cast-off scrub, but he should not be pitching. He should not be anywhere near a mound. In terms of the Rays, they are who they are. I mean, they can bring guys in, and even though Diego Castillo gave up the home run to Urshela to put the Yankees up 4-3, they'll bring in other guys I've never heard of, Beeks, Sleggers, Loop. Who are these guys? And they will throw scoreless innings, and the Yankees won't touch them. Now, would it be different if you had DJ LeMay in there as your leadoff guy? Because Hicks has been hitting a lick despite his decent on-base percentage. Helps. That would help a lot because DJ LeMay is their best hitter. Would it help to have Aaron Judge batting second? He should really bat third, to be honest. Yes. Would it help if Gleyber Torres did more than have a good 3-game spurt and make errors? Yes. So would it help if Grounder actually did something aside from hit home runs? Yes. The Yankees also have a Gary Sanchez problem. I've come to the conclusion that Gary Sanchez is not the future of this ball club. And the problem is they don't really have a backup catcher. Kratz is your backup catcher. So I don't really understand what the thinking is. So Gary Sanchez will hit the home runs. He's got immense power. He will hit home runs. So he will go yard the long ball. And he hit, what do you have, 4 games in a row where he hit a home run, or 4 out of 5, and he's up to 5 home runs. So Sanchez will hit the long ball. He doesn't do anything else for you. I mean, that's the problem. Gary Sanchez, he doesn't have any plate discipline. When he first came up, he looked like he was going to be a star. When I say star, I mean, I'm not just talking about hitting home runs. I thought he was going to be able to hit for about 280, 285 and hit 40 home runs and drive in 115, 120 runs. I think that was possible, where he could have put up a almost a Piazza type of year, but Piazza was a much better hitter. Instead, he chases a lot of curveballs, a lot of the off-speed stuff, and it was a disappointment. And he strikes out way too much. And he's a pass ball machine. He leads the majors with 6 pass balls. He does have a strong arm behind him, but he can throw out runners. So that's a 1+. So the power is a plus, especially when he's hot. And the strong arm is a plus. But I really don't think he's much of a catcher. And I'm really not sure. I heard Sal Acala say this on WFN, and I kind of agree, because I've been thinking for a while. I'm not sure if the Yankees can win a World Series with Gary Sanchez behind the plate. Prove me wrong. Maybe they can win despite him. I mean, there's certainly enough talent on the roster. This is an abbreviated season. There is expanded playoffs. There are 8 teams that are – is it 8 teams that are going to be in it? I can't even remember. No, it's going to be 16 teams. How ridiculous is that? I mean, there's not even a reward for first place. Your AL East, you have the Rays at 17-9 and the Yankees at 16-9. The Rays started off like maybe 5-8. So they've been on fire, basically. Reeling off 12 or 13 or something like that. They've been doing a great job. So, I don't know. They find these guys. Wendell gets 2 hits, drives in 3 runs. Zunino's like Sanchez. He's a power guy behind the plate that doesn't do anything else. He hit his 4th home run. He's hitting 118. So Sanchez is hitting like maybe 150 with 5 home runs. So not much difference. Margot is not a guy that normally hits. He was the throw-in in the trade with Hunter Renfrow, who's not hitting. And Margot got a big key 2-out hit in this game. That helped the Rays go ahead and have the beginning they did. So it's very strange. They had a big 6th inning. That was the difference in the game. They got 5 runs in the 6th. Adavito was ineffective, and Avilan is just not that good. He's terrible. So, you know, people were complaining about Zach Britton, but I'll tell you one thing. Zach Britton, he's actually been pretty good for the Yankees. He made all the saves. He got saves when Chapman was out. And it's hard for a closer to go from being a closer to being a setup guy. Does Britton sometimes get into trouble? Yes. But more often than not, he comes through. So I don't really understand the complaints about Zach Britton. Chad Green is very solid out of that pen. Ottavino just didn't have it yesterday. And that was a brutal series for the Yankees. And they lose 3 straight to the Rays and have lost 6 of 7 to Tampa. I think Tampa matches up pretty well against the Yankees. Does that mean that they will beat them in the postseason? There's no guarantees here. I did pick the Rays to get to the World Series against the Braves. I did. That was my pick. Whether or not it happens, we'll see. We shall see what happens. But there are issues with the Yankees right now. If you're looking for a second reliable starter behind Gerrit Cole, was very upset that he gave up a couple of home runs and was taken out by Aaron Boone, did not finish the 6th. And I love that competitive spirit. And Cole strikes out 8-9 guys every game. Just don't give up the home runs. He's given up about 9 home runs already, so that's a lot. Jordan Montgomery right now looks like the Yankees' second-best starter. So Jeff Montgomery is a guy to watch. A little bit of a poor man's Andy Pettit. Young pitcher, 25, 26 years old. That's the one guy I'm looking at right now of the New York Yankees. And Hap did have, at least did have a good last outing after being skipped in the rotation. So that's going to do it for this abbreviated podcast. A little bit of a follow-up. I had to follow it up because of what happened. Got cut off, but wanted to do a follow-up. So that's your baseball story, and we did a little bit of NBA as well. Okay, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in to more of my podcasts in the future. We'll try to line up some guests. I would like to try to line up a guest to talk some hockey, talk about this first round, maybe talk some Rangers as well. So that will be in the works. Check us out. Make sure you give us a follow on the Twitter at Hard Hits Network altogether. And you can follow me on Twitter, or you can follow me at my hockey account as well. So it'll be, it's going to be fun to do more of these podcasts. And check us out. All right. Thank you for tuning in. I will sign off. This is the one and only D-Flex here signing off. And we'll see you all next time. Good night, everybody.
of the shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. That you find nails on and I twitch all my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby, it drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire.
Breathless sigh.